Intervju Radija Študent.
And I refuse to have it not spasm by refusing to defend it the way I know I should. Until one morning when the angry ball of a thigh muscle finally gave way the only way it could at the tendon. And it was like a sniper had shot me. We had been working around each other in the ring and I had not even been kicked. In fact, the first thing he said to me post facto was, "I didn't even touch you." Yeah, he was right. I was just moving. Right to my left when I was shot. Goddamn stupid son of a bitch.
Pozdravljeni v današnjem Ereš intervjuju, v katerem gostimo Eugena S. Robinsona in L'Enfance Rouge, band, mešano internacionalen band iz Francije in Italije. Danes bodo odigrali koncert, zastonski koncert v Menzi pri Koritu. Relativno zgodaj bo to, tako da no, kar začnemo. Hello, guys.
Hello.
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 I must ask you first, how are you? How's the road been treating you? How's the concerts been so far? 3 weeks, you
wonderful.
Said, you've been playing
yeah.
together?
Yeah, it was wonderful.
It was wonderful.
Well, tours are like records, you know, they have personalities and faces of their own, so this was very fun. Maybe fun is not the right word to describe it, but it was artistically successful.
It was artistically successful.
Yeah. I mean, fun is like what you do when you go to an amusement park and you're on a roller coaster. It implies a certain mindlessness to it. I've had to concentrate on this more than, you know, the last 10 years of music I've made. So it was very cool.
Okay, that's great. So L'Enfance Rouge and Eugene S. Robinson, how did the collaboration start? How did this come together? How did you meet? How did it all happen?
We wrote each other, and since we had the feeling that for Eugene the music was a way of distilling life and literature and many things at the same time, which was a bit our habit in a way, so we it's really our life music, but it's a way of actively living. It's not only a part of life. And so we were really amazed by what he did in the past and the present, and so we love to work together.
Yeah. So you've flown him in, and I read this somewhere. You only need to be flown in, given food, residence, and for the people to not be assholes.
Yeah,
something like
yeah.
That.
Oh well, then there's a small cash thing, but yeah. It has to be something that is exciting and that lets me use my voice in a way that I never use my voice. And the challenge for me with this is to, I mean, the lyrics are not lyrics, they're stories that I've written. So to make a story come alive in a way that's different than just a guy standing on stage reading a book. That's been an interesting and compelling challenge, you know, since nobody reads anymore. So.
Okay, great. And how did it actually come together with the music? How did you guys creatively collaborate since you recorded a demo for this tour, I guess? So how did you bring your
honestly I felt it was one of the most immediate and natural collaboration. We had a couple of rehearsals where we were playing more or less our music, but in a more larger let's say with a slightly more improvised feeling, and Eugene tried, as he said before, to use his stories and see how they can match with the music in two, three different ways. And then everything is happening on stage. So every night we try to rebuild the flow of music, and he's doing, he's reacting to the music, and we are reacting to his interpretation of his stories.
So we are looking for a way to be surprised by ourselves, all four, and it's really a pleasure.
That's a kind of interesting way to play music.
Personally, yes.
This improvisational dynamic, and you're not improvising, but you're freely choosing the words you have.
Right, and I've at this point figured out that some words fit better with some songs, and some songs sound better with certain words. At the same time, the artistic task in front of us is to make them come together and come alive. So. In a way that's compelling for us, and then maybe the hope is that it's compelling for other people. So if it's not, that's okay. But as long as it's compelling for us, then it gets played with a certain amount of brio. It's perfect.
And there's a certain physical
engagement
which happens only on stage.
Right.
And that's, for me, that's the main difference to whatever you want to call rock.
Right.
And because for sure there's a writer,
right,
and for sure there's a like musician or composers from the other side, but it if you don't bring if you don't inject energy and life to this stuff, it's just some beautiful box that you can keep it home,
right?
And that's for me also the answer for why we are bringing this on tour.
Yeah, I mean, I remember once Lawrence Ferlinghetti once said to me, you know, poetry should be written as though it were going to be read out loud, you know, and I kind of think that you could probably say that about all kinds of writing, you know, that it should ideally, I mean, it's nice to have it happen in your head, but if you could have a situation where the writers came to your house and told you the story, that would be wonderful to a certain degree. And that's what this is, you know, except with really, really great music behind it. So we're doing something that with people trapped in internet, text, TV realities don't have time for. So it's very simple. You at home, reading, listening to music. So
okay, actually, you're going the direction I maybe wanted to go with the interview yourselves. I wanted to somehow mix your approach, your personality, your public personality as a fighter, as an aggressive person. I actually wanted to ask you first: should we be afraid of you, Eugene?
You know what I figured out. The short answer would be no. You know. What I figured out dealing with guys who are much tougher than me, I've noticed that they all listen really well. Much better than the average person listens, you know, because their existence seems to benefit based on hearing things right the first time. And I find most people don't do that. There's a guy who came up to us in Delamont and started waving a stick at me, a cane of some kind. Now, he was trying to communicate something, but I don't know what he was trying to communicate. And I yanked it and threw it, smashed it against the wall across the stage. Like he would maybe later say to his friends, oh, I didn't know what was going on, I was frightened. But in terms of causal connection, had he not done that, he could have just enjoyed the show like everybody else, you know? So I think if you listen and you pay attention and you're in general polite, which is how I try to proceed through life, you might make it through the day without getting punched in the face, you know? But if you breach any of these protocols, many people will not punch you in the face. They'll just kind of go, ah, that guy was a jerk, and, you know, let their day be ruined. No, I won't do this, you know? If my day is going to be ruined, then your day will be ruined as well. So it's not mindless. Nobody I know who's a fighter does so mindlessly. It takes a lot of thought and practice and time spent making it make sense to you. And largely, most of us who do fight do it so that we can order chaos and create comfortable, polite spaces for us to exist. You know, I mean, the fights I've gotten into typically are always when I'm feeling really good and somebody else has kind of, you know, injected impoliteness or rudeness, or I've tried to impose a certain will on me and my actions, you know. Usually drunk guys. So the reality is most people just kind of go, eh. But, you know, I look at it like I'm defending the right of those people to go, eh, by stopping it quickly. So
maybe you have this common point. The live show of L'Enfance Rouge is known for aggression, I guess, maybe, or at least a wildness.
I hope it's known for spirit. Intensity.
Intensity.
More aggression, but
maybe confrontation.
We smile a lot on stage.
Maybe confrontation also. I wanted to know if you can speak maybe a bit more about. This element of the live show, of the intensity or the confrontation, which I saw at an Oxbow show in Ljubljana. It played some years back.
Oh, okay, so it was Ljubljana that we played.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
It was Ljubljana.
It was just an acoustic guitar and voice when we played.
Yeah.
You were at the show.
I was at the show.
Okay.
Well, it was a three-piece show, I think.
Yeah, it was Isis.
Three bands.
What happened that night?
What happened that night? I mean, it was just...
I didn't attack anybody, is what I'm
no,
saying.
No.
Okay.
But
okay, so it's fine. There was nothing confrontational about it then, was it?
I guess not, maybe. It's just you have a certain persona on stage that is quite explicit or something. It's a different experience for me as the listener, for the audience. If you have a performance of your kind, or what you give off, just being on the stage,
right,
the way you are and talking the way you are. And
yeah. Well, I mean, maybe it seems that way as part of the audience because your experience is divorced from the words. And for me, then it becomes a process of like seeing a play in another language, you know, where much like dogs listen to things, you're listening for tone and timbre. And, you know, overall emotional impact, which is a good way to get things. You know, my dog understands completely whether I'm in a good mood or not, you know, just by listening, feeling. But, I mean, the words and the things that we write about and our obsessions are probably melded to our music and in the kind of performances that we give to make those words make sense, you know. I mean, I recently did a song with somebody, and they said, we'd like you to sing these lyrics, and they sent me these lyrics. And the lyrics on the face of it were fine, and then the singer started to explain to me that the song was about turtles. And I said, you know what, maybe it would work better if you sang those lyrics and I sang some lyrics that I wrote. Because I, in general, like turtles, you know, but I can't think of at all spending 5 or 10 or 15 minutes to sit down and write a song about them, so... So we write about the things that, at least from my point of view, that I'm obsessed with. And you see my obsessions on the stage.
Everybody's obsession on the stage.
Right,
so yeah. For this reason, it's a big privilege to be on stage.
Yeah.
It's the best part. one of the best parts of life.
I believe that. So maybe you can all tell something about some upcoming things, if you have, like your band or some other actual things, like releases of L'Enfance Rouge, and maybe if Eugene, you have something new coming up as far as collaborations go, or maybe Oxbow or some book. Or
okay, got it.
We have recorded 3 albums right now that still unreleased, because we are thinking about many ways of releasing, because we truly feel the so-called crisis of CD printing or whatever you wanna, or fluid music, liquid music, or blah blah blah. And so we have an album recorded as a trio, L'Enfance Rouge trio, with all the new songs.
May I open a parenthesis on that? So we just have a call for collaboration. Yeah, in that case, I mean, in the case of this album and trio, we really wanted our audience, who is in charge for mixing the material we recorded already. So every month we are publishing on our website all the tracks separately. So everybody
For
every song. And so everybody could do his own mix, the fine mix of the album L'Enfance Rouge. And of course, we will choose one of the proposition and we'll pay for that, as we would pay the sound engineer for doing that. And so, if I hope that we will receive something from Slovenia as well, as is the case, because we already had one from Slovenia, and it's great. And sorry,
I wanted to tell exactly this. And then we have another album we made with this Tunisian singer and his musicians, Lutfi Bushnak. And we are still trying to understand who's gonna be able to mix it, because it's a big challenge to let the very loud and electrical side of L'Enfance Rouge still alive. At the same time, the preciousness of the acoustic instruments like violin, canon, and oud, with all the quarter tones and all the timbre they have, and Lutfi's voice, which is already very powerful and very full of subtleties.
And also so autonomous in a way. So
and
it's difficult
and
to
having Francois and Chiara's voices as well. So to have all these elements balanced, it's quite a hard work. I did the rough mixes of this just for us to listen to the final result, and I say for sure I'm not gonna mix it with album.
Okay. And for me, I think this month we released Southern in the UK. Released a record I did with Philippe Petit, called Last of the Dead Hot Lovers and Kasha Miao. And I guess we'll be touring on that later on in 2013. Oxbow goes into the studio in February to record the Thin Black Duke next record. And then I go on a short, very short tour with Jamie Stewart and Juju. We have a two-man project called Salminio. And then in March, we do the L'Enfance Rouge Eugene Robinson thing again. And then April through the fall, I work like crazy. So I can make some money. And then in the fall, Oxbow will come back on tour. So that is my short schedule. I think in terms of books, the only book I have coming out are scheduled to come out is a play in English. It has already been released in French, but it'll be in English. And it's called the, I forgot what it's called. No, it's called The Inimitable Sounds of Love, A Threesome in 4 Acts. So it's my first play.
A Threesome in 4 Acts.
Correct.
So maybe just go back to tonight's concert for a second, watching the YouTube clips and listening to the music, I have the impression it's gonna be devil's music.
you know, but I mean, the cool thing is every night for us it's different. I mean, we don't put together the set list, you know, until we sort of see how we feel, see how the audience feels and the room feels and the night feels. You know, we kind of, you know, take elements of the set and move them around and put them in and we play it. So, you know, it could be any kind of night. It's one of those days.
Okay, so
anything could happen.
We don't know what to expect.
We're surprised by ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know and we don't know.
We don't know.
So,
we're in the same position.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain elements that will remain. You will hear drums and you'll hear bass, guitar, and vocals. Those elements are, you know, set in stone in this confirmation. But the rest of it, I have no idea. I mean, right now, I feel okay. I feel good.
Okay, so, great. Maybe if you agree, we can listen to one song.
Yes.
One of your demos.
We must.
And I'm actually saying thank you at this moment because
we're
running out of time.
You're actually saying thank you and goodbye.
I'm saying thank you and goodbye.
I don't want to leave.
And I wish you a really, really great show tonight and to the audience, and I hope people show up.
Will you be at the show?
I'll try.
Oh,
very, very hard.
I think that's a no. You got something important to do.
I have, but...
What is it you have to do instead of coming to this show?
Well, we're going into
private details.
There's no such thing as privacy. You know this.
Maybe we should just listen
play
to
song,
the song.
Play a song. Play a song.
And invite people again. So please come to Menza tonight. I think it's at mislim da je pol devetih, tako da je zgodaj. In ja, mislim da bo zelo dobro.
Grazie.
So, you may have been stabbed. Signs you may have lost a fight. Gomert looks at me and says, if a fox is chasing a hare, you have two very fundamentally different ways of viewing the same event. The fox is thinking a lot about dinner. The hare is thinking about his life. And with these come different sets of motivations and methods. Nemaya Bomrick's knife fighting seminar zeroes in on those differing methods of dealing with edged weapons and a conflict that might see no interfering ref, no timed rounds, and no duos. You must think like the hare. And the number one thing you must think, as well as say to yourself, if you find yourself in a knife fight. The one thing that might save your life is your understanding that today you will bleed a little. spastic flurry of hands. And the smell that always ends up smelling like chicken soup gone bad. Fear. There's the mumble and the groan, and eventually the slip into recognized roles. Doom and done to. And finally, if everything works right, there's a reminder that we're far worse, better than the animals we own as pets and unsophisticated chattel. What we are, though, is this. We are fighters. And the scenario is repeated again and again. It wheedles its way into boardrooms and bedrooms. It's not so particularly male obsession with the eternal unasked, can I take him? Which could be extended to, can I take it? Or better yet, can I? With all apologies due to Sammy Davis Jr., also a student, despite his diminutive frame of the fistic arts, the answer is always the same. Yes, I can. Even when you can't. My name is Eugene. Hi, Eugene. Yeah, thanks. And I'm a fightaholic.
Intervju Radija Študent.